The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I'm calling this one the Cohen Cross-Examination Thursday edition. I got Rich lightly screening your calls on the board, and we're doing it live, baby. I promise you, I am not a rerun. This is live. Crudy's back from, you know, getting some domestic work done. I was doing a little housework, literally like work on the house, not like cleaning it. Although the ceiling quite filthy, but anyways, that was a story for a different hour. You're here now. So let's get into the most important part of the day. The Trump hush money trial has adjourned for the day. And there will not be testimony given on Friday in deference to Barron Trump's graduation. Happy graduation, Barron Trump. I got a son graduating on the 1st. You know, it's always good to see the young graduates. I understand from Melania Trump's office, I didn't even know she had an office, that apparently young Barron has now declined his invitation to be a delegate from Florida at the RNC in Milwaukee. So I don't know if I'll get the opportunity to meet young Barron Trump, but anyways, happy graduation, young man. I understand your old man's supposed to be in Minnesota fundraising. We'll see. You know, maybe he'll do both. He does have the private Trump jet. He might be able to do both. Go to the kid's graduation, like an hour. He's just there to give him a card. You know, Barron's looking for cash, right? Because I wouldn't take a check from the old man. I'm just saying. So, anyways, welcome to the big show, folks. I'm perhaps going to give you a little of my dramatic Michael Cohen cross-examined testimony a little bit later in the show, but want to leave plenty of room for your phone calls today. 844-967-2789. And while I've been on the ladder, I've been painting. I've been completely absorbed in the cross-examination, the CNN coverage of the in-courtroom testimony. Of course, I'm not in the courtroom, but I'm the next best thing. I'm the guy who took off work for the last 3 days and did nothing but absorb the real-time testimony. So here I am. I am your resource. And here's my impression of Michael Cohen as a witness for the prosecution. Don't know if you've ever seen the movie The Campaign, but Will Ferrell, who's a very funny guy, is in The Campaign. And I felt like as Cohen was testifying, and I'm only reading the transcripts, you know, they've been describing him on direct examination. Cohen apparently did very well when the prosecutors got to sequentially set him up and ask him questions. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Looking at the jury, very attentive to the jury. You know, he is a lawyer by trade. If disbarred, he was a lawyer by trade. But he's, you know, he's a good reader of human beings. He's read many rooms before, and he thinks he's doing his best to lay out the testimony, hopefully to convict his former boss. He was the fixer, after all. And then the cross-examination started. And the other day, my understanding, Todd Blanche, the attorney for the defendant, Donald Trump, I like calling him that, Blanche was, you know, kind of all over the board. And he was trying to elicit sort of an angry response from Michael Cohen. And, you know, I understand Cohen's timbre raised, his voice raised a few times. He, you know, obviously was annoyed, and he did deny certain things that were of questionable volition, but whatever. Did pretty well on direct and then sort of a scattered cross-examination earlier in the week. Not so much today. Today, Michael Cohen was the Michael Cohen that we all used to hate. And when I say we all used to hate, I think some of us have grown some affection for Michael Cohen, this figure, this perhaps savior, that he's going to be the one to stick the nail in the coffin and bring it all home. The prosecutor's case in the Trump hush money trial, the voter deception trial, as I've been trying to rebrand it. But this is the character he reminds me of. This could have been testimony from Michael Cohen today. This is sort of the attitude I see from this guy.
I will do anything it takes to win, even if it means lying or physically hurting someone.
Hey, easy, easy, easy. Put that down.
Or branding myself with a coat hanger in the shape of a V for victory.
There doesn't really seem to be limitations to what Michael Cohen will do. And what do I mean by that? It was asserted by the legal panel, CNN's observers. Maybe Michael Cohen has even been monitoring the testimony of other witnesses in this case. And today he brings up this incident, I believe October 24th of 2016. And you think of the timing of this. This is right before the election, right? And this whole trial is about the paying off of Stormy Daniels specifically, but more than that, sort of a pattern of catching and killing any bad news for Donald Trump. Hell, even planting some bad news in the National Enquirer about Ted Cruz's old man. But they killed the doorman story that Trump had fathered a child out of wedlock, apparently proven false. And they killed the story, David Pecker, his, you know, his co-conspirator over at the National Enquirer, AMI. They killed the Karen McDougal story. She was the Playboy playmate that Trump apparently had a longer-term relationship with. And then the Stormy Daniels story. Apparently, she was shopping it before the election. And Michael Cohen had made the claim, this specific phone call. This was the phone call where he basically closed the prosecutor's loop. How do you know, Trump, you, that this was really about paying off the porn star? Well, I had a specific phone call with Donald Trump through his body guy, through Keith, where I called Keith and Keith handed the phone to Trump, and either on speaker or speaking with the president, I informed him I had done the dirty deed. I had paid off Stormy Daniels. And that's how I know he knows. And I believe the specific date, October 24th, 2016, the call-in record. Well, the defense, very effective today, because the defense attorneys effectively, A, pulled up the call record. 1 minute, 36 seconds. The entirety of this call involving not just Michael Cohen, but also the body guy, Keith, and Donald Trump. And here's the problematic part. He had been texting Keith, the body guy, the security guy for Trump, and saying, effectively, I've been getting prank called by a 14-year-old. And I want to wreck this kid. How do we do that? You know, how do we get the Secret Service involved? And he's texting the security guy for Trump this information. And then Todd Blanche, the defendant's lawyer in court on cross-examination, is saying, effectively, you've never brought that to any testimony ever, not before grand juries, never have you brought up the fact that this conversation also involved what? Some 14-year-old calling you. And it's the very same day, and you had time to talk with the body guy, Keith, and then talk to Trump, bring up the issue of this 14-year-old that had been crank calling your ass. And then, question mark, you're sure you talked about Stormy Daniels and the payoff to Stormy Daniels, but you've never related any of the other details of this conversation ever. not publicly, not privately, not in the many press interviews you've done. Now, you heard that little sound of Will Ferrell before. They played some of Michael Cohen in a podcast form, and I wasn't in the courtroom, but the actual excerpt with a few beeps, because it was quite profane, the full-throated jerk, a-hole, D-bag Michael Cohen shining through in all his glory and all his ugliness. And here's the incredibly disturbing part. We're not winning this trial if Michael Cohen is the determinant witness. And my understanding is the prosecution effectively is resting. You know, they'll do summary, but they're resting. This is their final witness. It not only has the guy been an admitted liar, and I'm not here to support Michael Cohen or bury Michael Cohen, but my strong impression is this guy's too damaged. He's got too much. There's too much going on there. I mean, he is not a likable character to the jury, and he might have done great in direct, but this cross-examination has really been decimating, and he has shown himself to be a terrible human being. Now, you know, at some point during summation, during the close, you know, the prosecutors are going to have to say, you know, we didn't pick this witness. Donald Trump hired this guy. We can only bring out the sort of despicable creature that he would choose to hire and have represent him. And being a fixer, being the guy that, what, called up and threatened people, bullied people, made idle or otherwise threats, and I mean constantly lied. But here's the only point that's quite interesting. There's really been no refutation of the facts. The only fact that they even really tried to present testimony, as near as I can tell, during cross-examination of Michael Cohen today, was whether or not he remembered these specific details and why he'd never brought up this 14-year-old crank caller that he wanted to go to the Secret Service with, yet he still had the wherewithal in a minute and 36 seconds to also tell Donald Trump, oh yeah, I paid off Stormy Daniels. Doesn't take long to say that though, does it? The deed is done. I paid Stormy. If I got a hold of the boss and I talked about my stuff, I might also throw that in for good measure, but it really undermines his credibility. More devils.
You punch that baby.
Is anyone asking how my hand feels after punching that iron-like jaw of that baby?
How is your hand?
I can't even make a fist.
Ugh.
I tell you right now, though, I'm so angered by seeing that, I wish I could go out and punch that baby again.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's Thursday. That makes it Friday Eve up in here, but I had to get back on the radio doing it live. We're doing it live, Rich, because I want to speak to you, our audience, let you engage. I don't know if you've been paying close attention to the Michael Cohen, the cross-examination happened today in the Trump hush money trial. And there was one other weird point where Cohen certainly seemingly lost credibility. Dick, I see you. Be patient. I'll get to you. If you want to get in the queue, like Dick, 844-967-2789. Michael Cohen made the claim he never wanted a White House job. And I think it was so clear that he did want a White House job. Hell, they had text messages from his daughter when Reince Priebus was chosen as Trump's chief of staff. It was really demoralizing to Michael Cohen. And Cohen's whole splitting of the infinitive, as I like to say, is, well, I was disappointed not to have been considered for the job. You know, my ego wanted me to be on the consideration list, but I didn't really want the job. I didn't want to work in the White House, which, again, I think is undermining to Michael Cohen's credibility. And he's sitting there potentially lying in real time from the perception of the jurors. And I'm going, oh my God, all might be lost in this trial because There will be no defense. Trump is not, I mean, come on. Trump ain't getting on the witness stand. And in almost every circumstance, whether it's the phone call on October 24th, 2016, Keith Schiller, who was the body guy, is still loyal to Trump, apparently, although has left public life. Well, he hasn't been called as a witness. He could corroborate what was said. He could be brought in under subpoena. The prosecutors didn't bring in anyone else. Weisselman, the CFO, well, he's sitting down at Rikers Island. And from the jury's perspective, they may not know why he's not giving testimony, but he's the other unnamed person in the room that could corroborate any of these statements being made by Michael Cohen. Now, having said all that, the evidence of this trial, overwhelming. I mean, the crime is very clear. But if Michael Cohen is your only link to prove that Trump knew, I am very concerned that we're going to have a hung jury here, folks. When this verdict comes out, I am very concerned that Donald Trump's going to be out there declaring victory, and it's going to be a victory over the rule of law, over the courts, because this less strong case with a star witness who is unrestrained in his complexity and his rationales for lying. He's sitting in court today, probably lying. And why, I cannot tell you. Why not just concede? Sure, I wanted that job. Didn't get it. Was that the reason you hate Trump? Well, a lot of reasons to hate Trump. That was maybe one of them. That would be an honest confession and might make you more credible before the jury. If you indeed want to stick a knife in his back, Brutus, you can't go and lie about the inconsequential things, like whether or not you wanted a job in the Trump White House. Hell, your own daughter knew you did. 844-967-2789. Dick, you've been patient. You go first today. Welcome, man, back to the live shows.
Well, Kurt, I'm scared of the same thing, and I asked James Santel, but I didn't get to hear his answer. And I understand it with Michael Cohen. I told him, you're trying to polish a turd, and that's not easy to do. But by the same token, who's the bigger turd that directed all of this? And I know that the biggest injustice in my mind that's been done to this whole country is the fact that it wasn't televised. Because I can tell you this, you're saying what you heard and seen, or, you know, heard talking heads talking about, and I have too the last few days. Here's what I don't like about it. I think it was Tuesday. You would have thought that he was the worst thing since sliced bread. I'm talking about Cohen with his testimony. And then the next group came on an hour later. We're all, oh, no, he was fabulous today.
No, I thought so, that the coverage of Cohen on direct was he really performed well. He was a very moderated guy, very polite, came off as a very credible and likable witness. But really, the key is not what you do when there's no pressure on, when you're just answering the pre-rehearsed questions. Today, Michael Cohen has shown himself to be just an extraordinarily petty man, Dick.
Right, and I agree with that. But the next thing is, if this was to just be one jurist, it'll immediately go to retrial, in my opinion. And in what I've heard and read, retrials, no. If it's just one, they'll ask for a retrial. And time's not on our side, I understand that. But most retrials, they get the person the second time around.
You know, Dick, I appreciate that opinion. I haven't heard the expedited retrial anywhere else. Perhaps you're right about that. But I can tell you, if you brought the same case again, unless Michael Cohen stop lying in a court of law. I mean, he may have perjured himself on the stand today, Dick. And my understanding, during the jury instructions, they're going to be told, if you believe the witness lied about one thing, you can discount their testimony on everything. Well, perhaps the jury would give Cohen the benefit of the doubt. Empathetically, you know, well, of course he wanted the job, and maybe he's you know, a little sour grapes over that, but he would not confess that point. He would not concede any point of such. And also, these specific details, it was questioned, Nick, and I was trying to read some of the testimony, although granted I was doing lots of painting. So often I had to rely upon the commentators to say this was just said. They were reading direct transcript quotes from the courtroom. But the phone call of October 24th, 2016, if he's so clear on the detail and he's always told the story, this is what I told Trump, Stormy got paid. Why did he never once ever talk about the 14-year-old that was calling him and he wanted Secret Service to go investigate the kid? And he followed up the phone call apparently with Keith Schiller or whatever his name is, Trump's body guy, and Trump with more text about the 14-year-old. Now, I've left a message for the boss. Hey, I did that job you wanted me to do, but it didn't usually involve paying off a porn star. Come back, more Devils. Your calls could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
Yeah!
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Back. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Thursday edition. We're doing it live. A Cohen cross-examination edition. Want to hear from you. Your call's welcome here, or your text. You know, boss might be watching or listening. 844-967-2789. That works for the phone line or the text line. Here is one of the quotes I saw today. I don't think I've ever seen a star cooperating witness get his knees chopped out quite as clearly and dramatically as what just happened with Michael Cohen. And again, I think the moment in question was a phone call that Michael Cohen had claimed was all about relating the information that he had paid off Stormy Daniels before the 2016 election. This is perhaps some of the linchpin evidence. And he was undermined. So much of this phone call was about him complaining about some 14-year-old crank calling his house. And his threatening behavior towards the 14-year-old and his desire to get retribution, have the Secret Service going after the 14-year-old, even though this kid said, I'm only 14, please don't tell the Secret Service. Cohen promptly called Keith Schiller, who did security for Trump, and again, asked him, you know, can you get me some help with the kid? Oh, the boss is there. By the way, I paid off Stormy Daniels. That's the only way that this is plausible. And it's not to say that both these things couldn't have happened during the same phone call. But the prosecutors certainly didn't prepare the jury that that is the sequence of events. And Michael Cohen had never publicly stated, no, I called about this crank caller. Never told anyone this before. It was always about transferring the information about the payoff to Stormy. Well, I can certainly believe that that was the memorable part, but the rest of it was very self-serving, pretty petty, and really sort of undermines Michael Cohen in real time as perhaps a liar. Again, the other point that he never wanted a job in the White House, basically he's lying to this moment about that. Seems very clear. He says, I was always satisfied being the personal attorney to the president of the United States. No, you weren't. We've got the president post-court this afternoon. And, you know, my greatest fear is we're going to get a hung jury. And I'm not sure about a quick retrial. I have no illusions that there will be a quick retrial. But my greatest fear is we're going to have a hung jury. And Trump and his sycophants, they're all going to go out there and they're going to declare victory in all the trials. See, they're all a political witch hunt. And the actual crimes, the real stuff. And I'm not saying these are not real crimes. I think they've been proven by the evidence. But the real crimes that affect a greater number of the American people, let's say a coup against the peaceful transfer of power, the January 6th stuff, the Chutkin trial, the federal stuff, the stuff that Crudy really cares about, we may never get to that. Not between here and Election Day. And my greatest fear, Trump's going to come out seeming all the stronger if he wins that trial. This could be bad, folks. Here's how former president, I prefer to call him, defendant Trump, spoke to the reporters assembled in the Manhattan courthouse, I believe. You ready for it, Rich? Play it for the people.
I think it was a very interesting day. It was a fascinating day. And it shows what a scam this whole thing is.
Scam. It's a scam. He's been saying that. That's not new news, but that's today's version of it. Do we have more? More from post-court. Again, this afternoon, here's Trump.
I'm spending a lot of time and I'm spending a lot of money, which is what they want. They want me to spend my time and my money. And I'm willing to do it because ultimately we have to fight for the Constitution.
You're spending donor money, primarily. My understanding, sir. It's become very clear you're spending other people's money on your legal defense. So, you know, that seems like crocodile tears. But certainly, defendant Trump has spent a fair amount of time in the courtroom. Trump earlier today, before he saw Michael Cohen sort of, I'm not going to say crashed and burned, but he certainly lost tons of credibility in real time on the stand. This was not a good afternoon for Michael Cohen. So here was Trump earlier. Play it for. Didn't see that one coming. Come on, man. It's not like I'm keeping secrets from you, Rich. All right, he's ready. Play it for the people, Rich.
This was a case that wasn't going to be done. And then when I announced I was running, they brought it up. They could have done it 7 years ago. This could have been brought 7 years ago. But they wanted it right smack in the middle of election. These are very dishonest people that we're dealing with.
Now, something Trump doesn't say directly because he would be forbidden by his gag order. And he seemingly is mostly following the gag order. He's got sycophants to break it for him. But what he points out, he was not prosecuted by federal authorities some 7 years ago when these crimes were first alleged. Well, you were the president then, and you had some control over your Department of Justice through Jeff Sessions and eventually Bill Barr, right? And my understanding is this was the original catch and kill, meaning that the Department of Justice effectively killed this investigation so Trump would not be tried in the federal courts some years ago or immediately after his term as the presidency, if, you know, some legal memo prevented immediate prosecution of a president. Although I would point out most of this precedes the presidency. But the hush money payments, no, he was signing off on those sometimes in the Oval Office, our understanding. The ongoing payments to Michael Cohen. We got more? We got one more. The president earlier today played for the people, Rich.
What they're doing in terms of suppression and election interference has never been anything like that. The good news is the polls are through the roof.
The polls are through the roof. That's my greatest fear. This does play well for Trump. If he comes out triumphant, it's going to play very well for Trump. That's my greatest fear. And today, not a good day for the prosecution. Their supposed star witness, I'm not saying he was Icarus, but he flew a little too close to the sun. 844-967-2789. Cam from Nina. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think maybe I could be playing mental gymnastics here, but I've been taking peeks at some forums with people that either are actually lawyers or they're LARPing as lawyers. I have no idea. But when I read through it, I see that some of them are pointing out that Blanche is doing his absolute best to drag it out so then we don't see a redirect today. And he's doing it in a way that
they're done for the day. That's already succeeded.
Right, right. Right, that's what they were saying. They were trying to drag it out for the day. But then another point that I had saw was that if they go for the Michael Cohen is a convicted perjurer, it opens the door for the prosecution to ask Cohen about the crimes he and Trump committed together for which Cohen was convicted, which I'm seeing people claim that they were surprised that they took as long as they did to even try to use the he's a liar angle.
It seemed pretty clear that they were going after the he's a liar angle. Tell us about the lie you told here. Were you lying then? Or are you lying now? You know, I mean, there was lots of that going on. That was a repeated point. They wanted to hammer home, of course, for the sake of the jury, Michael Cohen, liar. Michael Cohen, liar. Here's where he lies. They also wanted to demonstrate that, you know, he lied about his willingness and his great desire to work in the Trump White House. And this is a point, Cam, I'm not sure why he would refute this point. It seems like a simple concession. Wouldn't make it. Wouldn't give that to Todd Blanche and Trump. And again, I think that's his pettiness showing through. He very much wants a conviction. He expressed as much. They played tape profanely of him in court today, saying as much on a podcast. Yet he couldn't control himself to just say, no, I didn't really want that job. But of course, you know, I wanted the job. You know, we all want a bigger job. He wouldn't make that concession. And this newfound explanation for the phone call to the body guy, Keith Schiller, on October 24th, 2016, if the jury doesn't believe that that actually happened, then there is a house of cards that comes down to Cam. And I greatly fear that the credibility of that specific evidentiary phone call has been completely undermined today, because Cohen never told anyone about the 14-year-old crank calling him and his desire to have the Secret Service go follow the kid. And the entirety of this phone message or phone conversation was only a minute 36. It seems like reaching a conclusion of reasonable doubt about the veracity of Michael Cohen seems more and more reasonable despite the overwhelming evidence. And a couple of the loose ends, Keith Schiller could tie him up. Prosecution, they're not bringing Keith Schiller. Weisselman could tie up some of the loose ends. They're not bringing Weisselman. So there are a couple of evidentiary stops that Michael Cohen's the only word you can take for it, and Trump is not going on the stand. So I don't think that we're going to see a verdict of guilty. Catch all that, Cam?
Yeah, I did. I guess I'm still kind of taking it. And also, usually, I think I get hung up on when that's done. I hear what you're saying, and I think I'm 80% on board with you on that. The other 20% of me is thinking that someone here is coaching the lawyers on the prosecution side to try to coax them to commit so far if he's a liar, but let's talk about some things that could help build this credibility, because they did it once already with Stormy, because she gave the salacious details that the judge was like, okay, knock it off, that's too much, right? And the judge pointed out, well, you hurt her credibility. She needed to be able to build that back up by giving details, and you didn't say anything. So that's why I'm like, I feel like there's got to be another point to this, because Cohen seemed too risky of a person to put up there in the first place otherwise.
Maybe that's why no one else wanted to bring the case, and that is testimony that was laid out today.
Oh.
Southern District of New York wouldn't bring this case, not with Michael Cohen as the key witness. There were several times where Michael Cohen being the key witness, I mean, he offered himself to Mueller. He offered himself to Alvin Bragg. He offered himself to Letitia James. He offered himself to the Department of Justice. Of course, some of this was self-serving. He wanted a better deal. The guy had pled guilty. He's going to prison. Got 3 years. And every step of the way, he's tried to get even his supervision overturned. Well, at times, during direct testimony, Cam, he came off as a sympathetic character. But nothing about the testimony today made him sympathetic to the jury. Now, here's the 20% of optimism I still have. There's no other plausible explanation to me why Michael Cohen would be paying off the porn star. Know what I mean? There's no other good reason for Michael Cohen to be doing this. He's not doing even hope picks, even Trump's trusted hope picks, said he's not the sort, he doesn't have the charitable nature, he's not going to put $130,000 of his own money outside of his wife's knowing getting a home equity loan because it would be paperless. They wouldn't send bills to the house. He wouldn't do this unless Trump told him to do it. So Michael Cohen is certainly not the only person giving testimony. But if you ask me, has he opened the door to reasonable doubt amongst the jury members, even one? Hell yeah. Yeah, I think we should start facing the very real possibility that we're going to see a hung jury, that we're not going to get the verdict we want. And, you know, Donald Trump's going to come out and claim victory over all the political prosecutions and the swing voters. I worry about them. I worry that they're not really paying attention to the details. That's why I'm here on the radio with you on a Thursday, even though I took the whole week off, but I couldn't stay away. I missed you. And I wanted you to be well-informed. Join me. I value your opinions as well. 844-967-2789. A Cohen cross-examination Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates. Yeah, we're doing it live. This ain't a rerun.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a Cohen cross-examination Thursday edition. Things didn't go as well as the direct testimony, which was led by the prosecutors. I am a little concerned that Mr. Cohen might have cooked all of our gooses, at least those of us that are seeking or would like to see Donald Trump held accountable for the alleged crimes in the New York case. Now, I always thought that this was sort of a secondary thing, not the biggest crimes, right? I mean, come on, it's all about the January 6th. I don't care as much about this, but this might be the only trial you get. And if Trump is, quote unquote, vindicated, exonerated, and it'll be something short of that, I suspect. There won't be jury agreement, but someone could very well have reasonable doubt about the testimony of Michael Cohen. Raw Story reporting, you can always join us, 844-967-2789. That works for both the call line and the text line, and I'm going to check the text pretty soon. Been looking mostly for callers. Appreciate your company on a Thursday. Here's the headline. Sarah K. Burris at the Raw Story, one of my favored sources. Trump accidentally admitted to part of the alleged hush money scheme outside court. Now, we played you some of that sound. Let's see which part was the confessional part. Former President Donald Trump admitted that he was part of a non-disclosure agreement at the heart of the criminal trial for the first time publicly while standing outside the courthouse, according to MSNBC's Vaughn Hilliard. The same observation was made by Allison Gill, who co-hosts the Jack podcast about the special counsel probe. Wow! In his daily courthouse remarks, Trump just admitted that he was part of the NDA with Stormy Daniels. Now, let's not forget, though, he didn't sign it in his real name. Hell, he didn't sign it. And it was in the name of David Dennison, I believe. Like, he made up a name, DD, and he never actually signed it. So to acknowledge being a part of it is something evidentially they didn't have before. Again, wow. In his daily courthouse remarks, Trump just admitted that he was part of the NDA with Stormy Daniels. Here's what Trump said. I have only legal NDA, Trump said. Hilliard said he was reading from an article by Andrew McCarthy, a former prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, who wrote a column by the National Review ranting that NDAs are legal for everyone else. Yet Bragg alleges Trump's was illegal, though he won't exactly say why, McCarthy says. So Trump stands before the press and reads the comments from McCarthy saying, I have the only illegal NDA. Very easy for me to say. I have the only illegal NDA
according to Trump, right? Meaning that he has an NDA. He just admitted it to the cameras. Trump then stopped, looked up at the cameras, and added in his own words, "I have the only illegal NDA." I got it right when I did the Trump voice, Rich. Hilliard said that as far as his notes, Trump has never admitted he had an NDA with the actress and director Stormy Daniels. In 2019, Trump admitted that the NDA existed between Daniels, Cohen, and other parties. That's the David Dennison character, right? That is like his imaginary friend. He used to also call himself John Barron. I think it's ironic his kid that graduates tomorrow is named Barron. He admitted it in another court in California, but he never confessed to it publicly. Legal analyst Andrew Weissman said the NDAs can be completely legal. There are components that actually at this trial, there are components that probably aren't okay, which is Michael Cohen's provision that he added about the $1 million penalty. Keith Davidson said that it probably wouldn't hold up. Yeah, you can't have a $1 million penalty on an NDA that only pays you $130,000. There are lots and lots of things that Donald Trump has said that are completely inconsistent with a defense. Our last hope, to my opinion, folks, and I'm going to end the hour with this thought. Trump's ego. He's winning. He knows he's winning. He knows that Michael Cohen basically crashed and burned, at least in some regard, on the witness stand today. And he knows that, according to his legal counsel, and I'm sure they're telling him, no, leave it to us, Don. We'll clean up the messes. We'll get you to the finish line. We'll get you either a hung jury or acquitted. I think a hung jury, a very likely prospect. Unless Trump's ego won't let him not testify. He's been claiming the whole time, and it would be very easy for him to say, and he did, scam. Well, after seeing Cohen's testimony, it's so clear to me the prosecutor had no case. Why would I go out there and be insulted by these, you know, twisted and partisan prosecutors? Probably gave money to Joe Biden. That's the claim he always makes. But why would I take the stand in that case? I can tell you why. Ego. Narcissism. An opportunity to feel like he has the center of the attention of the world. And something interesting about Donald Trump. He thinks he can change hearts and minds simply by repeating the same point over and over again. If he says it through repetition, it becomes his truth. Now, that would be a difficult thing on cross-examination, I suspect. That would be called perjury, sir, because when you lie over and over again, you have perjured yourself. There is still no plausible explanation for why Michael Cohen paid off the porn star, if not at the directive of Donald Trump. But Michael Cohen, definitely, definitely a damaged witness. Sad, sad afternoon. I was hoping he'd hold up better. Come back. We'll talk about the June 27th fight, the debate. Joe challenged Trump, and supposedly he accepted it.